Radio.
Become the best version of yourself. A talk by Justin Kumbo at Ignite Live.
Well, hello there. Good evening. How are we all? Wow. Are you doing good? You alive? Can you just turn to the person next to you and just see if they need some resuscitation after that welcome? Nah, it's so nice to see your faces. It's so nice to meet you. If this is your first time here, welcome. If it's your 10th time here, hello. If you're my housemate, I ate some of your chicken in the fridge without asking before I came. I was really hungry. Fun fact, a few of us moved to Brisbane last year. We were new kids on the block. And it was Easter, and we're like, hey, why don't we just go up to the beach? And so I told Jed that I'd pick him up with my housemate and we'd go to the beach. And we rock up to his house and he comes to my window with no bags. I'm like, we're on a schedule. Where are your bags? Let's go. So I got some bad news. I'm locked out of the house. And so he was completely locked out of the house that he was staying in. And the family's home that it was were like way out of town. They were so far away out of town. So we're like, all right, like break in. Prison break. Take two, eat your heart out. So we're like going to every window, like pulling on every window. He's a tradie, so he's getting the drill. He's like standing on this staircase. And of course, like a supportive friend, me and my housemate, we're taking selfies with him in the background, like, locked out of the house. We tried everything. We looked at every window, the toilet window, doors, trying to get into this house that is abominable. We figured out the hard way that day. Then I noticed, in my great wisdom, that there was a dog flap. And I thought, hang on a second, that dog flap is open. And then I looked down at my hips and I thought, these hips don't lie and they definitely won't fit through that dog flap. None of us could fit. I mean, like, Jed is like tankers, like those shoulders, they won't fit through the dog flap. And as cute and tiny as my housemate is, I didn't want to put her through that. I thought, oh my gosh, like that is the key. Like that is the key to the future, to victory. Like we need to get someone in there. And I just moved to Brisbane. I just started a new job. And I knew that my boss was in town. And I knew that he had really cute, beautiful little children. So I picked up my phone and I was like, oh, hi, Mark. Happy Easter. How are you? Don't take this the wrong way, but can I borrow one of your kids to go through a dog flap? And God bless him and his family. They came over and Ethan, the little boy, went through the dog flap and I thought I was like putting him through so much agony. But then his little brother was like, oh, Dad, can I go in too? So like he's through the dog flap. And you know what? They got the key and they opened the door to the house. Yeah. So if ever you find yourself in trouble, just give me a call and I'll find a way in. But the point of me telling you that story is one, I think it's funny and I'm going to tell it. But two, I think sometimes we treat our faith, we can treat God a little bit like that. We lock him out of our house. We lock every window because we're like, I don't want you to come into my life because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to like it. I don't know. And you know what? We just leave the like, you can have the dog flap. I mean, like, yeah, you are more than welcome to come into my life through the dog flap. And tonight, you know what? I don't know you. You don't know me. You know a random story about my life so far. I don't know why you came tonight. I don't know where you're at in your faith. But what I do want to invite you to do tonight is that if you have locked the doors in your life or a part of your life that you think God is not going to want to see or that you're not sure, I invite you to open that door. Open the toilet window. Open the front door. Open the back door. I've been the dog flap, because I tell you what, I'm not a very smart person, but I do know that Jesus wants to talk to you tonight and that you are here for a reason, okay? So open up. So tonight's theme is become the best version of yourself. That's like probably hands down my all-time favorite theme to speak about, to read about, to challenge myself about. But I just want to set something straight, okay? About tonight's theme, because, you know, when I was a kid, I don't know about you, but I always used to think of the things that I wanted to become. Like, when I grow up, I want to become a teacher. And when I grow up, I want to become a pilot. And then I realized when I got to year 11 that physics and maths are hard and that I fail at them. The pilot dreams changed. And I'm pretty sure that there was a time in my life where I wanted to become a fire truck, like not a fireman or fire. I wanted to be the truck. You know, but even from this young age, when we thought about who we wanted to become, you know, becoming the best version of ourselves, even if we didn't use those words as a kid, it was always kind of like something that happened like in the future, like not now. It's something that will happen later on, something that will happen in 10 years' time or when I grow up or when this or when that. And I don't know about you, I think some of you are in high school, some of you are at uni. But even when I was in high school, when I was in uni, I felt like I was always in this like awkward limbo. I felt like that I couldn't do anything significant with my life until, insert reason here, I couldn't do anything really significant until I was older, until I finished uni, until I had money, until I was married, still waiting for that one, until people took me seriously, that I couldn't do anything in my life, and I was just in limbo, just waiting, that waiting music on the phone, it was my life. But you know what I want to do to start tonight? I want to take that idea and I want to chuck it in the bin. I want to throw away this idea that we become someone significant then, over there, later on. Because you know what? Your life is not on pause until you become someone significant, or pending until you're old enough, until you have a degree, until you have a career, just waiting till people will take you serious enough. God's plan for your life, for you, is not like hidden in the bushes until it is time. That God's plan for you in becoming the best version of yourself is a now plan, like as in like right now plan, like now, now. Not tomorrow, not next year, not in 10 years' time, but his plan for your life started even before you were created. That you are actually living God's plan for your life right now in this moment. Your bum in that seat is living God's plan for your life right now. So make it count. If you just farted, we'll pretend it didn't happen. And you know what's even better? Is whether you feel it or not, believe it or not, know it or not, that God is actually here now. He's not up there. He's not over there. He's not in the bushes. That would be creepy. He's here now. And it's in the living of your life now that you become the best version of yourself. If you don't live your life now, then you're not going to become the best version of yourself because you're not living right now. You know, some of you might know that I have a strong European background. Yes, I am Maltese, and yes, I talk about it all the time, okay? My parents come from Malta, they talk like this, and I like to talk about them because you know what? I feel like I'm the only person in Brisbane who is Maltese, and sometimes I just really feel like no one understands me, and so I need to talk about it all the time. And I love my... Yes! Yes! Thank you! It's okay, we talk later, okay? I'm giving a talk now. I can't talk now, but I talk later. Okay, all right. And I love my parents so much. They were eternally embarrassing growing up. But they live overseas at the moment, so I don't get to see them very much. They live in Boston, and I miss them. But I do get about 7,000 photo updates from my mum on the daily. Look at the seat. It has snow on it. Look at the tree, it has snow on it. Oh, look at the pathway. Look at the leaves. Look at the people. I'm like, thanks, Mum. She sends me a lot of photos. But I remember growing up, my parents would always pray this prayer. They would pray that we wouldn't be afraid to be different. They prayed that Justin wouldn't be afraid to be different. And I remember every time my parents would pray that, I'd be like, can you not pray that prayer for me? Like, can I say no to that prayer? Like, I don't want you praying that over me, okay? Because I don't want that. The last thing I wanted to be when I was in high school was different, okay? I didn't want to be different. I wanted to be the same. Different? No, the same. The same. Okay, Mom, stop praying for that. I just wanted to be the same because so much of my life was already so different. You know what? In primary school, everyone had normal lunches. Nutella sandwiches, ham and cheese, Vegemite, me, tuna, and tomato paste and onion in a baguette roll. I'm like, what is normal about that, Mum? Everybody else had a beautiful, new, brand new school uniform that fit me. Me, I had a discolored hand-me-down uniform from my sister who's 10 years older than me that was 12 sizes too big because my mum said, you'll grow into it, okay? I smelled like garlic 24/7, okay? I didn't want to be any more different than I was already, okay? I had enough of that. And for a long time, I rebelled against that prayer. I did choose to just go along with what everyone else was doing, even when I didn't even like it. I wanted to fit in and I just wanted to be the same. But you know what? I think I've realized what my parents meant. You know, I'm turning 27 this year, so I'm like really wise now, so you should like listen to everything I say. But I realized that what they were saying to me is that when everyone else is going one way, I don't need to. That I don't need to. And when everyone else is telling me that I should be a certain way, that I actually don't need to. Because I don't become more of who I am by becoming more like everybody else. Because I don't become more of who I am supposed to be by just blending in with the crowd. And I do not become the best version of myself by doing everything for me, by me, to grow myself. You know, it's hard though. I get it. I live in the world. And we do live in a society, and perhaps there are people in your lives, like there have been in mine, that tell us, give us our life story. Hand us the story like, you must do this, this, and this. Go to school, get a degree, work, get a job, and then that's who you're supposed to become. You know, actually, there is more to my life than that. And if there is more to my life than that, then there is more to your life than that. To who I am, to where my worth comes from. It's more than getting a degree. It's more than the job. It's more than the best grades. It's more than being the most attractive person. They're all fine. And some of those things are great. Do not drop out of school. Your mum will kill me. Stay in school. But there is so much more. There is so much more. And I know that because I see it. I know that because I've experienced it. And you know what? This is the dangerous thing that I'm going to say tonight. The first thing. That's so much more. Do you know where it comes from? Jesus. I said it. What was that girl that said it? There's so much more that we desire, that we want, has a source. And it's Jesus. And I don't know where you're at in your faith, in your belief of who Jesus is or what that means or how that fits in with your life. But what I realized is that for so long, I didn't want to become too religious. You know, I didn't want to believe in Jesus too much because I thought that if I did, he'd make me become someone that I didn't want to be. I had this idea that I was just going to become this really boring 95-year-old lady in an instant if I believed in Jesus or was too religious. I'd say things like, you know, well, I can't see him. He's not talking to me. And, you know, when I pray for things, like I don't feel him and I don't get the things that I pray for. So I'll just do that thing later. I worried too much about what other people were going to think of me. But, you know, when all of this changed was in one moment. In just one moment when I stopped caring about everybody else and what everybody else had to say about who they thought I had to be. When I just pressed pause on that, when I let go of this expectation of what I thought Jesus was and what he was calling me to, I realized this funny thing. That I got to know more of who I am by knowing more about who he is. That I discover more about who I am and my purpose for my life when I discover more about who Jesus is. But I had the wrong expectations of what Jesus wanted from me. I had the wrong idea about who he was. And that was my obstacle. And you know what I realized? It makes me feel so good about myself. That I'm not actually the first one who's had that realization. That actually my homies in the Bible, they were exactly like me. So I feel really not as bad as I used to feel about myself. And I want to introduce you to some of my friends. I want to talk about who Jesus is. I want to take an analysis of who this guy is. I want to look at scriptures, and I want to introduce you to some people in the Bible. I don't know if you've read through the Bible, but what you'll realize very, very quickly as you read through is that Jesus never really turned up in people's lives in the ways that they expected him to at all, ever. Really. It was like a surprise party every day with Jesus. And so the first person I want to introduce you to is, it's called the woman who was caught in adultery. And maybe you've heard this story, but she was a woman who had been caught cheating. She was sleeping with another man and she got busted by the Pharisees and the law keepers. And so according to Jewish tradition at that time, anyone who was caught in adultery died the death of being stoned to death because they broke the law at the time. And in the case of this particular woman, they brought her out into the middle of town. They literally pulled her out of her room and threw her into the middle of town before crowds of people. And this man, Jesus, was there. And I'm sure she would have heard about him because everyone was kind of talking about this guy, Jesus. He was performing miracles. Was he the Messiah? They weren't really sure. And he was there. And he wasn't very liked. You may know the end of the story, but he wasn't very liked by the Pharisees. So she's thrown in the middle and the Pharisees say to him, you know what the law says. We want to know what you say. You know what is to be done. And in this moment, I just want to think about what this lady was thinking. She probably expected Jesus to be like everybody else and say, yeah, what the heck were you doing? Stone her to death. But instead he says, you who is without sin, you throw the first stone. Nobody threw a stone. This is really dangerous for Jesus to do. They already didn't like him very much. And they kind of lawyered him. He kind of lawyered them in that moment. And that was not good. But he was the only one to look at this woman and not see her as the sum of her mistakes. She walked away changed. She lived. She survived this experience. Why? Because of the dangerous love that Jesus had for her. That changed her life. That helped her to realize everything she had been created to be and everything that she had been living for until that point. And this dangerous love of Jesus changed her life. I want you to meet my friend Zacchaeus. Has anyone ever heard the story of Zacchaeus? He was a tax collector and he was dodgy. With a capital D. He was so dodgy. He would tax people way more than they needed to, but people were afraid of him, so he'd tax them. And he was not liked. And Jesus rocks up to his town. And again, wherever Jesus was, there was a crowd. He would have known who Jesus was, and he couldn't see him, so he climbs a tree. Now, there's a moment in the story where Jesus starts to like walk through the crowd towards Zacchaeus. And the crowd is parting and Jesus is walking towards Zacchaeus. Now, if I enter into Zacchaeus, firstly, he's probably feeling really dumb that he's the only one sitting in a tree in that moment. But he was probably expecting Jesus to come up to him and say, hey, you're that tax collector who keeps stealing from everybody. Shame on you. He would have expected Jesus to scold him. And yet, what does Jesus do? He invites himself over for dinner. I bet of all the things that the Zacchaeus thought would come out of Jesus' mouth, it wouldn't have been that he invite himself over for dinner. But he does. And so it was the love of Jesus that stepped out from the crowd towards Zacchaeus that changed Zacchaeus. The one person who stepped out of the crowd and saw him that changed Zacchaeus and helped him to discover the more that he was created to be, not this life of stealing and fraud, but that love changed him to the point where if you read the end of the story, Zacchaeus actually gives back 4 times the amount that he stole from everybody. A love that stepped out from the crowd that changed him. And the final person I want you to meet from the scriptures, his name's Peter, the keeper of the keys, the rock. And it's a story where Jesus walks on water. And so Jesus spent the day preaching and he's tired. So he goes off to pray and the disciples all get into a boat and they're on a lake. And this wind randomly picks up. They don't have the app on their phone that tells them when the wind is going to pick up. So they're in the boat, the wind picks up, the waves are overwhelming on the boat. And then they look out, and the first thing that they do not expect to see is Jesus walking on water, firstly. But Jesus is walking on water, and they're freaking out. They're freaking out because their boat is going to tip over. They're freaking out because Jesus is on the water. And at one point, Peter asks, like, Lord, tell me to come to you. Like, Jesus is walking on water. Maybe if I ask him to tell me to come to him, that I can walk on water and I'll be safe. And so Jesus says, all right, come to me. And you imagine Peter, all right, walking on water. This is not fake. This is not a dream. I'm alive and it can actually happen. He's got one leg over the boat. Jesus said to come to him, so I'll be okay. It's Jesus. He's not going to leave me astray. Another foot over. He's in the water and he's walking. And then what happens? He starts to sink. Are you kidding me? Jesus, you told me that if I stepped out of the boat, that I would come to you, that I could come to you. But what happened to Peter? He freaked out. He let the fear take over him. He started to doubt. He was probably worried about everybody else, and he lost sight of Jesus, and he started to sink. And Jesus lifts him out of the water, and he's okay after that, for all those who are wondering. But the point of this story is not that Peter could or couldn't walk on water. The point is that Jesus had a love for him that called Peter out of fear. That Jesus loves us in a way that calls us out of our fear and out of our comfortability. That Jesus had a love for Peter and has a love for us that loves us too much to just leave us where we're at. Loves us too much to leave us where we're at. And he knew that Peter stepping out of the boat that was truer to who he was called to be than Peter just staying in the boat, freaking out with everyone else. You know, unfortunately, I didn't make it into scripture, but I've had many out-of-the-boat moments. And for me, it feels more like a capsize, and it's very ungraceful. But I've had lots of these moments where I'm like, oh, God, you were right. Jesus, it is you. And one of those moments was a couple of years ago. I had one of the most incredible opportunities to go to the Philippines. And it was on a bit of a mission trip, and so I went, and I've never eaten as much chicken and rice and never been stared at as much than that 3 weeks of my life because I was very, very white and I haven't eaten a lot of chicken and rice in my lifetime, obviously. But while we were there, we had the privilege and the heartache, I guess, of meeting a lot of incredible humans who have it a lot worse off than me and you. And we did the little that we could to try and help them out, but I reckon they did so much more for me than I ever could have done for them. But I remember this one particular day, we'd met this gorgeous girl who had really bad scabies, and she had a boil on her leg that was really infected. So we're like, hey, like, we can take you to the doctor. So me and this other girl, Tara, we were at the doctor, and we'd been there for like 5 hours, with 5 hours of people staring at us. Again, yes, I'm still white. You can keep staring. I'm not changing color. But the doctor, and then this guy, Peter, who was with us, he was kind of out and about on the streets, and he came in and said, hey, I've just found this guy who's really injured. His foot's been hit by one of the buses, and it's gone untreated, and it's very bad. It's gruesome, and you're going to have your wits about you. So I was like, yeah, like, I'll be fine. Until that point in the trip, I hadn't really cried. I hadn't really been too overwhelmed by a lot of suffering. So I went with Peter, and we were walking towards this massive roundabout, and there were thousands of people, there were cars, and in the distance, I could see this figure of a man sitting in on this roundabout. And as we walked closer, I could see that this man was really, like, blackened, not because that was his skin color, but because of the exhaust fumes of the cars that had obviously been spinning around him for days, weeks, months. And as we got closer, I realized that his clothes were so dirty that I felt like if I touched them, that they just would have crumbled. You know, Peter wasn't wrong. That sore on his foot was infected, and it's like he had a growth on his foot. And so we were walking towards him. Meanwhile, everyone is staring at us. Cars are still going around us, but we're like, whoa, like we need to help this guy. So we get there and we're sitting and I'm sitting in this little place where I'm like, he's going to come with us. Like, we're going to be those people that say, we'll take you to the doctor, we'll pay your medical bills and then he'll be fine. So we sat down and Peter started talking to him in their language. And he said, you know what, that is a really bad wound and you need to get that looked at, you know. Can we get you a doctor? And I was like, yeah, the guy's going to say yes. He said, no. He said, no, we'll pay the bills for you. You don't have to do anything. We'll pay for that. You don't need to worry. We'll get you help. He said, no. And I remember just sitting there and I was like, Lord, this guy is going to die if we don't get him help. Please, may he say yes. And Peter said, what if we bring the doctor here? And the man said, no. This man had been so overlooked by thousands of people every day who saw him like a piece of rubbish that he had given up. And I was sitting next to a man who had just given up on life. And I was praying with all of my heart, please, Jesus, can he just say yes? And then Peter said, how about if I help you? And he said, yes. So we just picked up this guy, I don't remember his name, and we walked across this massive, busy roundabout, and we walked him to an alleyway, and we left him there while we went to the chemist. And I cried the whole way. I cried as Peter bought as much as he could to medically aid this man. It broke my heart that people had ridden this guy's life off and that I couldn't do anything about it. We went back to the alleyway and we sat down with this man and I watched as for the first time I actually felt like I was sitting with Jesus. And Peter, the guy that I was with his bare hands, got down and was cleaning this guy's wounds, was cleaning it with antiseptic, getting the muck of this man's big wound all over his hands, getting into his mess, into his hurt, and not caring about anyone else who was around us. There was a bit of a crowd that surrounded us, and I was so angry that these people were just watching. And I remember with all of who I was, I just wanted to stand up and say, get lost! You're just watching us as this man loses hope. You've ridden this guy off. He's worth more than your stares. And so I just pushed these people away as this man was Jesus to this guy on the ground. You know what? In that moment, my degree, the clothes that I was wearing, the stupid mascara that I was wearing, what other people thought of me meant nothing. Didn't mean anything. Do you know what really changed my life? I'm not going to speak on behalf of that man who we helped. Do you know what changed my life in that moment? Was a love that wasn't afraid to get messy. Was a love that wasn't afraid to be different. That's what changed my life. Not whether I had gotten an A+ in year 12 on one of my tests, or whether I was going to uni next year or not. In that moment, I promised myself something. I promised that I never wanted to be an onlooker ever again. I never wanted to be that person that just watched on. That wasn't going to be me. That becoming the best version of myself meant that I committed to love others in the way that Jesus showed me. And you know what? I didn't care what everyone else was doing, and I still don't. Everyone else can do that. But as for me, I want to be different now. Not tomorrow, not in 10 years, not when I'm old enough, not when other people think I'm ready. I want to be different now. That man, he was in need now, and the only question Jesus was asking me was, are you ready to love him now. Becoming the best version of ourselves is not about being liked. It's about being loved. Becoming the best version of ourselves is not about being liked. It's about being loved. And you know what? That is so countercultural. There'll be so many people who hear me say that. I'm like, you're weird. Please get off the stage. Because the world says, do everything for yourself. What are you doing for yourself? What are other people doing for you? And me, 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 selfie culture. You know what? I've never discovered more about who I am and what I'm created to do by taking a selfie. That has never told me more about who I'm created to be. But love, my experience of real love, is that that's what changes lives. That is what moves people in this world, and that is what people remember. If you want to become the best version of yourself, I don't know if you want to. If you do, do you know what the answer is? Love. If you want to know who you are or what you're supposed to do in your life, then love. And who is at the source of this love? That man that I was sitting with in the alleyway. Jesus is at the source of this love. So you might want to consider having a chat to him. So that's my first encouragement to you tonight. If you want to know the best version of yourself and my desire for your life, I don't even know you, but I'm European, so I love everyone and I will hug you if I meet you afterwards. The desire of my heart is that you do want to become the best version of yourself and that you never settle for anything less. But my first encouragement is that you get to know Jesus. Find out who he is to you. Who is he to you? Is he just a story? Is he just like kind of confused Santa Claus / magician? Who is he to you? Be honest. And who are you to him? Let him show you that. The second encouragement is, who do you spend your time with? Because you know what? You're probably going to become a lot like these people. I've been so blessed to have my parents who freaking embarrassed me my whole entire childhood, but showed me that it was okay to be different. Who do you surround yourself with? And do they help you to become the best version of yourself or not? Thirdly, look at your gifts. What is it that only you can do? What is it that when you do it, when you serve someone else or when you do something, it brings you life? What are your gifts? And if you don't know your gifts, you know what? I got your back. Because everybody has a capacity to love. And that isn't to be underestimated. Tell God your desires. Man, He wants to hear you say that. What do you want? What do you dream of? What is it that you want to do? Share that with God. And then watch it unfold. And lastly, be courageous. Be courageous. And follow, get out of the boat when Jesus calls you out. You don't need to go through any training course. You don't need a degree. You don't need to pay 5 easy payments of $79.99 a month before he does that. You just got to be courageous. And then wait. And then listen. And then follow. So I'm kind of going to start wrapping up now because this is all great, but the best part is over to you. But tonight, I just want to remind you of a few things. That God sees you as you. And if you've had an experience of people not seeing you for who you are and feeling like you need to hide or change, God sees you for who you are. He sees the mask. He knows. He doesn't look at you through the lens of someone else or what you should be. Tonight, God sees you and he's actually calling you to be the best version of yourself. He looks at you and he calls you out of the boat. And you know what? He loves you with that love that thinks that you're worth it, that dangerous love. He loves you with that same love that is not afraid to step out of the crowd for you. And he loves you too much to just leave you where you're at. He's got a love for you that is willing to die for you. You might not get a prize for being different, for loving, for stopping and talking to that person that nobody else does. Someone might not even see you do it. You might be the only one. I have been in those positions so many times, but you know what? Who cares? Who even cares? Because your life is not about being liked. It's about being loved. So tonight, I'm going to encourage you to ask him. If you don't know, if I've just been speaking smack and you don't get it, just ask him, Lord, who do you want me to be? Where are you calling me to? Tell me, I'm listening. I'm scared. I don't know if I want you in my life. Be real with him. Give him the real you. Jesus is calling you. He's calling me tonight by our name. He's calling us to step out of the boat.
That was Justin Kumpo with Become the Best Version of Yourself. For more from Ignite Youth, visit igniteyouth.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.